We're in a series called Born Again, and last week we began this idea of reading in John that we're born of water and the Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit yesterday, and we're going to do so again today, a little bit different way. I want to read Ephesians chapter 6 and then pray. God is strong. He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. It's a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Let's pray. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit in us would open our hearts and minds and ears, that we would hear a word from you. We thank you for your great love for us and for all of your creation, and we pray again for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Lately, I'm a routine guy, and so I have a little bit of a morning routine, and my morning routine is had some things that I've added and then, you know, gotten rid of over the time. I'm not going to tell you the whole morning routine, but part of it has become, not the very first part, I hope. Usually it's not, but part of it has become is I get my phone and I check the news. And I see if I want to know if Russia has invaded Ukraine. And I have some friends who invested last seven years of their life in Ukraine, in Kiev, a little just outside of Kiev. There's about 18 to 22-year-olds who live in a house together that they also used to live until last May. And they were deciding what they were going to do a couple of weeks ago. And so there was preparation made for them to go to Poland. But they decided they don't have a house in Poland. They don't have a place to live in Poland. So they're staying in their house. So I get up every day to see if that day is today, where the world, not just the Ukrainians and the Russians, but the world will go to war. And yet, we are in a war every day of our lives. And that war is just as real and as serious as the war that I think is about to happen in the Ukraine. And so God has not only begun this war, but he has equipped us to win this war. And that's what I want to talk about today. The battle we have in our lives with our enemy. You know, the word war and even battle, being a football coach, I hated when people would use the word war to talk about a football game they're about ready to play. And I hated when they even used the word battle. This is often locker room. Started to say the wrong word there. Locker room talk. And like, we're going to battle, man. Let's go. You know, we gotta get everything we got because we're going to war. I'm like, yeah, nothing like war. I mean, it feels like an insult to a soldier who has limbs missing or PTSD or a soldier's family who's lost that person. And we're calling a football game war. No. But on the other hand, what we're talking about today is real. And just kind of to review our status, where we are in this battle, I'm going to kind of move ahead to, or move back to this statement in John about ourselves as slaves to sin and becoming and having an identity as slave is part of this war we fight. And so I'm skipping the Romans 6 part, even though while it's quite good, I'm trying to make sure we get home before dinner tonight. So Jesus is talking, and he's talking, saying some crazy stuff. And he has this big following because he healed a guy. And he has a bigger following because he fed a bunch of people. And then he starts saying crazy things. And in John chapter 6 and John chapter 7, people started, what in the world is this guy talking about? And they started leaving. And they started to stop believing. And then he gets to John 8, and he's still kind of going off. And he's getting offensive a little bit in this part. But he says to them, to the Jews who had believed, this is John 8, chapter 31. To the Jews who had believed, these aren't the ones that have fallen away. These are the ones who are hanging in. He says, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Famous, truth will set you free. But here's what they said, because they took it as a smack in the face, and they said, we're Abraham's descendants. Yo, don't you know who we are? And he says, we've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we're going to be set free? Now, this is shows them how you think some of the, you know, Americans don't know their history, maybe, but these guys didn't know squat diddly because they were slaves more years than they were not slaves. They were slaves 400 straight years in Egypt. Then they went back and forth and back and forth in the book of Judges, being slaves and slaves and then not slaves. And then they were slaves of Babylon. And now, right now, they're under Roman rule. So, you know, they're nuts. But Jesus' reply doesn't speak to their nationalism. It speaks to us, and it speaks to every human being, because here's what his reply was. Very truly, I tell you, which I always thought that was an odd way to begin it, but, you know, that what we say is to be honest. You know, that's what he's saying. That's what our way of saying, you know, to be honest. That's what we say these days. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Have you seen any slaves this morning? Yeah. So here we are, slaves to sin. I don't get this exactly, but I come to, as I'm working with this group of addicts over in Abilene in the last several months, I've come to understand my own sin even more. And here is an addict, and they're going through these different stages of addiction, and then recovery, and then relapse, and then recovery, and, you know, back and forth. But I've heard several give this testimony where they would have the drug right in front of them. Most of the time, this would be heroin or perhaps cocaine. Just one or two of my guys that I know of this group of about 30 use meth, but so it's mostly heroin. And they said, I'm so tired of it. I've been in this life for so long, and I don't even want to do it, but it's right in front of me, and I can't not do it. Have you ever felt that way about a sinful choice that you've made? You know you don't want to do it, but you just can't not do it. Sometimes I'm that way about an argument. Have you ever seen an argument coming, and you're thinking, I don't want to get in this, I don't want to. Don't want, boom, you know, and here I go, lose myself. So this is it. We're slaves to sin. We're slaves to sin, but when we're born again, we're set free from that. We're set free from the slavery to sin. Doesn't mean we don't have a choice. As a matter of fact, it says for the first time in a long time, we do have a choice. We're not an addict. We have a choice. We've been set free from slavery. And so this is how it reads in Galatians 4. At the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, under the law, and God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to that law of sin and death, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. We go from slaves to children. Now, some of you had parents, and sometimes as I look back at my parents and also my parenting, sometimes the kids may think they're slaves, but no, you know. But we're not slaves, we're children, and because we're his children, God has sent the Spirit into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So the very first thing the Spirit tells us as we're battling this war is that you're not a slave to sin anymore. You don't have to do it. As a matter of fact, God, the Father, the creator of everything, is your daddy. You're not this anymore. You're a son. You're a daughter. And now that you're no longer a slave, it says in verse 7, but God's own child, you're also an heir. Man, we have quite an inheritance coming. And we have even right now, though, this great identity. So our identity is restored. And here's the part of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly reminding you, whispering to you, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Now, one of the ways he does this is through scripture and through worship. Man, we're singing songs today and the words are coming out of our mouth. But even more, there is this thing swelling up inside me that affirms who I am. It affirms I'm a child of the living God. As I worship and as I read scripture, the Holy Spirit's continually reminding me. And then there's this fact that scripture points to. We're at war with a defeated foe. You know, this is the way it is in wars, especially it's not as much this way as it used to be, but like, for instance, the Civil War, they did not have cell phones. No internet, no email. Crazy, right? And so the war was over, and people didn't know the war was over. So they're still fighting and killing each other even after the war is over. The victory is over. The war has been won. The war has been lost. In some ways, this is how we are with our spiritual war that we live today. Satan is a defeated foe. And yet he's still fighting because he wants to take as many down with him as possible. He wants to ruin your life now and ruin it tomorrow and ruin it the next day. That's his goal. But he's defeated. And so here we are reading from Colossians 2. You were dead. You were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature, and it was not yet cut away. But then God made you alive. You were born again. Doesn't say born again in Colossians 2. But you were born again. He made you alive, and he forgave all of our sins, and he canceled the record of charges against us. And he took them away by nailing him to the cross. And in this way, he defeated and disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities of this world. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them in the cross. He won this war. The war has been won. We're still at it because our enemy keeps attacking. And so we're still in some ways vulnerable. But we have weapons. We have things that are on our side. So the enemy, though, the way he works mostly is this. It's he continues, I want to say, a barrage of lies. He's got a, what would you call that, propaganda campaign going. This is his best weapon is lies. And there's different kinds of lies. And you experience these. One is fear. I experience fear. And it shows up in worry. But sometimes I worry. God says, don't worry. I got this. But sometimes I choose to worry anyway. Because I listen to lies that the enemy tells me that I'm not good enough or I don't have enough. And I worry because I believe lies. The truth is, God says, don't worry. I've got this. I've got you. And sometimes I doubt. I have doubts. Some of the lies I hear make me doubt my identity. Am I really a son? Because look what I've done. This and this and this and this. And sometimes I still have some bad thoughts. So am I really? Did that cross thing really work for me? So I have these doubts, or sometimes doubt God's goodness. When bad things happen, I wonder, is God really good? And these are the lies that are coming at me. And so our circumstances influence my feelings, and I'm feeling bad or sad or mad, and I'm wondering, is God really good? Is God's plan? Does he really have a plan? And it doesn't seem like it's going according to plan. Because if this was the plan, I think God could have done a little bit better than that. I mean, really? This is it? Because doubt, because lies. And they keep on coming. The lie, I'm not good enough. Or, you know, they really don't love you. Or they love you, they'll love you for a little while, but then they'll stop. These are lies. Or my identity lie, I am what I do. I am what I do. Or I am what I have. And our whole culture buys into the lies, and then we're kind of falling along, you know, following along with our neighbor or our friend or our family who is also getting attacked, hearing the same lies. Because this is the way our enemy continues to fight. Even though he's a defeated foe, he continues to hammer us. And so things like, you know, sadness, and we turn it into, becomes despair, and it comes to giving up. But here's the thing. God has not left us alone in the fight. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to set our minds. I want you to listen to this. First of all, how does this happen? You know, how does this happen? I baptized both of my sons, and the youngest one, I baptized him in a big old crowd of people at church, and he's up there. He's 10, and he's, you know, he's really sharp, and he is he tests the boundaries. Maybe y'all boundary testers? Yeah, Austin, for sure. Sally, no, not so much. She helps put the boundaries up. She helps remind you. She's kind of the Holy Spirit in herself, you know. Mom said, don't do that. That's why I'm doing it. So I say to Jason, I'm about to baptize him. I said, you know, when you're baptized, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. He's kind of naughty. I said, do you know what that means? I mean, we're in the baptistry and the Holy Spirit. He says, no. And I said, I'm not sure I do either. How does this work? It's a mystery, and yet it's true. Sometimes it's one of those things, it's hard to explain, but you know it happens. And so this is the way, though, Paul writes it in Romans. He says, those who are dominated by the flesh. Now, the flesh is everything that's selfish desire in us. When I say flesh, you think selfish desire, evil desires. Yeah. Punching and never mind. Those who are dominated by the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit set their minds on things that please the Spirit. So letting the flesh control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the flesh is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of the flesh can't please God. But you, because you're born again, you're not controlled by the flesh, you're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. This is the idea. When I say set your mind, I want to say focus. Focus. And there's a couple of other scriptures that come in here, and so I'm going to read them to you too, because they just jumped on me kind of on the way. You know how that happens to me sometimes, and that's why we have to stay a long time sometimes. So here is us. We're living in this world. This is 1 John chapter 2. Yeah. Don't love the world or anything in it, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of the eyes that are boasting about what they have and what they do, doesn't come from the Father, but comes from the world, comes from the liar. And so these choices are set out in front of us. But where do we focus? Can we set our mind? Can you set your mind? Can you change? When one thought comes, can you change and think a different thought? This is what 2 Corinthians talks about in this battle. And it's in battle terminology. 2 Corinthians 10. For we live in the world, but we don't wage war. This is Paul. We don't wage war the way the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. And he goes on to say, what we do is we take captive every rebellious thought. Have you ever taken a thought captive? How does that happen? How does this happen? Well, you have thoughts in your head. You realize the Holy Spirit prompts you. You shouldn't be thinking that. Have you ever had that happen to you? You shouldn't be thinking that. You know, for me, sometimes you shouldn't say the words that are coming up in your mouth. You should keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it says, you better quit looking at that person, that female person, like you shouldn't be thinking that thought. Have you ever thought this? Now, I'm telling you, every man in the room is either one of these things. Either they admit that's the truth or they're just liars. But sometimes we think thoughts. And, you know, sin hasn't come upon us, but we're being attacked by thoughts. And so we take those thoughts captive because the Spirit is poking us to say, don't think that. And so you focus on something else. And what is it that you focus on? I'm going to read again from the Message how I began in Ephesians 6. He talked about the weapons. You put on the armor of God. It's the way that NIV says it. The armor of God. What is it? He says, be prepared. This is from Ephesians 6 in the Message. Because you're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Amen? Amen. So take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, you'll still be on your feet. So here's his list. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation. They're more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them to get through your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential for this ongoing warfare. Man, we got to be in God's word to know how do we take this thought captive. First of all, right off the bat, for me, I begin to pray. God, deliver me. God, deliver me. And you know, in the case of my wandering eyes, he'll say, look at something else, moron. I mean, you know, it's not this hard. Just, avert your eyes. Okay, or just don't. Don't say anything right now. Wait. There's so many different ways the Spirit helps us take our thoughts captive and make it obedient to Christ. Then, the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, but we still have a choice. We can decide, submit to the truth or not. Romans 6. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can keep on sinning? No, of course not, he says. Don't you realize you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? We still have a choice. We're baptized. We're born again. But now we have freedom to choose. Before, we're going to do it even if we didn't want to do it. We were slaves to sin. Now we're free to choose. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, Romans says, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So, closing up. As we respond to the Spirit with action, the Spirit's going to prompt you. Your response is what's next. Your choice. Your choice. He'll ask you. He'll say, think on these things. And the more you feed your Spirit, the Holy Spirit has more to work with. I love to coach talented players. You know that? I mean, isn't that sort of not, doesn't even need to be said? And the Spirit, when He has something to work with, so when I saturate my mind with the Word of God, man, that's a lot of how the Spirit prompts me, is just with scriptures just pop into my mind. Or in worship songs. Man, one of the ways I want to wake up in the morning is reminding me who I am. So I'll listen to worship songs. I want to know that Jesus loves it. I'll listen to worship songs about the gospel. And some of them are old hymns and some of them are brand new, you know. But I want to hear a word from God in the morning, even before I check the news to see if Russia's invaded the Ukraine. Because when I read that news, I want to already be standing on the promise that God is in control. That's what I want to be. That's the thought that I want to be in my mind. He might not be in control of the things other people do because He's given them choices. But He's got my destiny. If I live or if I die, if I'm rich or if I'm poor, He's got me. So, here's what happens, though. We become more like Christ, and it's easier for the Spirit and I to have these conversations. You know, as you're becoming a friend of someone, your first conversation isn't usually, now some of you, I don't know, but usually you just don't blow it all out there right off the bat. But as you get to know them, you begin to share more, you get to talk more, you get to listen more. And this is the same way it is with the Spirit. You develop this strength, and so you hear the Spirit's voice much quicker the more you practice praying and reading the Word of God, praising God in song. You practice. You hear the Word more often. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 3. Now, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. Now, this, I have to go into some detail of context of that unveiled faces part, but the part I want to focus on, we contemplate the Lord's glory, and we're being transformed in His image in ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is a Spirit. We're being transformed. We're being changed into Jesus as we focus, contemplate, if we focus on Jesus. I'll have a closing thought in just a minute. We're going to sing this song. And I so much hope, pray for peace in our world. Amen. For peace in our families. For peace in our nation. But what I do know is we are at war with Satan. Mm-hmm. And he is relentless, but he is a defeated foe, and we march with God and His Spirit living in us, and we can win the battles of the day. We can win them with the Spirit's help. And so, man, I want to praise God with this song and shout out to any of my, the spirit of evil that's anywhere near us. I want to shout out and say, we know who you are. But we have overcome, not on our own, but by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus and the power that raised Him from the dead. Let's sing.